95.5 FM, KCSN, and KCSN HD1 Northridge, Los Angeles. KSBR and KSBR HD1 Mission Viejo. A service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Member-supported public radio. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.
A very happy Wednesday evening to you all, and welcome back to the Soundtrack, all new 2025 edition. I'm your occasionally genial host, Lev L. Spiro, and we have some ringers in the studio tonight. That's right, some radio ringers. First off, on the board, weighing in at a lean, mean 160 pounds, and it's all heart, folks. From Reseda, California, the one, the only Mookie.
Thank you so much. Originally from Reseda.
Yes.
Thank you, Lev. It's an honor to be hanging out with you today.
Thank you. You didn't do the applause cue. I thought you were going to cue the...
We didn't prep for that.
Okay, sorry. Right. Next time. All right. How are you? How are you doing tonight?
I'm great. It's nice to be here with you. I have a blast. I learn something every time I sit in on the Soundtrack, and it's very entertaining for me as well. You're a very entertaining guy.
Well, wow. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that. And let me introduce our special guest in our other corner here with his wit, his vivacity, his je ne sais quoi, his amazing experience in the long halls and spiky corridors of the film and TV industry. Screenwriter, producer extraordinaire, writer, producer on Just Shoot Me, Family Guy, Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23, and many, many others. And Academy Award nominated writer and winner of the Writers Guild Award for Best Original Screenplay for The Holdovers. Also occasionally helping out with applause tonight, Mr. David Hemmingson.
All right.
Woo! Yeah.
Thank you, Lev. That's very kind of you.
Thank you, Dave. Welcome back. Now, you did a sterling show here back in May of 2024, and you've agreed to come back. Can you defend that decision to our listeners at home?
Yeah, it's just your raw charisma.
Oh,
it's just the percolating raw charisma.
I would say so. It's like a gravitational pull. We keep coming back to you, Lev.
It's true. Sure.
We're like rogue moons that keep getting pulled into your orbit.
There's no accounting for taste. That's lovely. That's a lovely metaphor. So let's get down to it. Dave, you and I are going to talk about some of our favorite musical moments from film and TV in 2024. And using some psychological blackmail, I got Mookie to volunteer one of his favorite shows as well. Mm-hmm. But Dave, let's start with you. So let me just ask you, since getting your Academy nomination, winning the WGA Award for Best Original Screenplay, are you now writing like every new project in Hollywood, or just maybe half of them?
No, I'm just trying to keep the lights on, man. I'm just doing whatever I can. There's some fun stuff, and I'm striving to do good work. That's all I can do.
You always do, my friend.
Thank you.
So your first pick for one of your favorite music cues is from a film I have to admit I haven't seen it yet. It's called I Saw the TV Glow, and the track is called If I Could from artist Jay Somm. Tell us about the film and the song and why you chose it.
Awesome. Okay, great. So this is one of two horror movies that were on my list for tonight. We'll get to the other one later in the show. And like horror as a genre, it's pretty obvious, but it's having a huge moment right now, which kind of tracks... Right? I mean, the world's a little shaky. People are on edge.
A little shaky.
Yeah, exactly. So I think the popularity of horror makes sense, and that's a reflection or response to that anxiety that we're all feeling. But you know, also, horror is also pretty universal. And, unlike comedy, you know, what makes us laugh can be super subjective, but what terrifies us, that's pretty elemental.
Yeah.
Death, ghost, evil doll, that's the name, just my top three. But at the same time, the recent crop of horror movies, they kind of have room for a wide variety of different tones. And just to witness the three great horror films that I think came out this year, very different horror films, all of which I really like. One is The Substance, written and directed by...
Is that the Demi Moore film?
Demi Moore film, written and directed by Coralie Farja. Nosferatu, written and directed by Robert Eggers. And I Saw the TV Glow, written and directed by Jane Schoenbrunn.
And that's what this track is
from. Now, I Saw the TV Glow kind of revolves around our two teenage heroes in the mid-90s and their obsession with the show, the 90s show called The Pink Opaque, a fictional show. And they're so obsessed that their reality kind of bends around the TV show, and their emotional kind of immersion in the show leads them to make some very terrifying choices that really stay with you as a viewer.
Uh-huh.
And the movie digs down into some of the more complicated corners of adolescence, and including like family dynamics and gender identity, in a really poignant and interesting way. So If I Could by Jay Somm, I feel like this song perfectly epitomizes the kind of dreamy, angsty feeling of the movie. Plus, it's got kind of a jangly 90s feel to it that I think perfectly kind of goes with the time period.
Cool. All right. Great intro. Let's give it a listen. So this is If I Could by artist Jay Somm from the film I Saw the TV Glow. I like that track right away when I heard it. It's Melina Duterte, a.k.a. J. Som, cites some of her influences being Tame Impala, YOLO Tango, and the Pixies. And you hear that total indie rock vibe going on there.
Yeah, and I think, weirdly, production-wise, a little Gin Blossoms.
Yeah.
Like, it's got that kind of like early 90s thing going on.
Definitely.
So
I heard
that. It's kind of a lush production, but there's mm-hmm. some real heart in it. I really love that song.
Yeah, it was very cool. All right, well, my first pick for my first cue was used as the series theme song on the opening credits of all 10 episodes of The Agency, starring Michael Fassbender. And it's a very cool cover of the U2 song Love is Blindness, recorded by, and I assume produced by as well, Jack White. He produces almost all of his own stuff, I think. Mm. Right, Mookie?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So now, admittedly, I will admit I'm not always the sharpest tool in the shed, and it took me 3 episodes to realize that the song represents the theme underpinning the entire show. Yes, Dave, it took me 3 episodes. Fassbender plays a CIA operative who falls in love with a woman while undercover in Ethiopia. So back in London, where he's stationed, his attachment to her becomes a serious conflict of loyalty as he tries to save her while also trying to rescue an operative from a Russian warlord. So while his character has to stay perpetually calm on the surface, Jack White pushes the emotionality of the song in both his vocal and in the searing guitar solo. So check this out. This is Love is Blindness from The Agency. Also a fan of The Agency, am I right, Dave?
Yeah, I loved it. My wife and I both loved it. We're totally addicted to it. I mean, it's just such
well-crafted television.
It was. It was very compelling. All right, well, the next track I want to play is from one of my favorite movies of the year, Hitman, a smart, engaging drama comedy with great characters from writer-director Richard Linklater. We're going to go right into it. This is Big Chief from Professor Longhair. So this track was used for a montage towards the end of the first act, if I remember correctly. I often don't. As the lead character played by Glenn Powell dresses as an undercover hitman and meets several would-be clients. Now, directorially, I think montages are often really overused as narrative crutches to feed us information. But Linklater does it perfectly in this movie, and the music is a huge part. It's a 12-bar blues. So it only reaches resolution every 12th bar, and it keeps propelling us forward, keeps us wanting to know what's coming next. And the tone is obviously very upbeat. It's a comedy, keeps it light, brings out the underlying comedy, and as you pointed out, it's set in New Orleans. So it's perfect. It also reminded me of Booker T and the MG's cue, Green Onion, so I loved it.
I love this cue, too. I love that movie very much. I mean, I think it was just such kind of a throwback in terms of, like, it felt like, back to the 90s, an early 90s sort of, like, great crimity, almost, you know?
A crimity.
And I feel like...
Criminy,
cripes. It feels to me strongly like the soundtrack is just perfectly calibrated to the tone of the film.
And you told me you've seen this film three times.
I'll probably see it a fourth time. I just love it. I think Glenn Powell's a movie star.
It is.
I think the writing is great. You know, I'm also sort of ambivalent toward voiceover sometimes. There's a lot of voiceover. It doesn't bother me.
Right.
Montages don't bother me. I think the charm of the movie and the kind of feeling of bonhomie that it provokes just kind of pulls you through it.
Great characters.
And, like, you know, he relishes putting on those costumes as various hitmen. So it's like you're having a good time, and the music reflects that and it amplifies that. You know,
and it's a crime drama. Yeah. A crimity.
All
right. All right, Mr. Hemmingsen, the next two cues are yours. Tell us about this next track. You picked the song Love is the Drug from Roxy Music, used in the series Baby Reindeer.
Yeah, Baby Reindeer. Okay, so I'm sure probably a lot of listeners know about Baby Reindeer by now, but I'll recap it a bit. So Baby Reindeer is a brilliant British black comedy / kind of thriller miniseries written by and starring Richard Gadd, and it's based upon his autobiographical one-man show. That kind of came out of nowhere to win 6 Emmys.
Hmm.
So Richard Gadd plays Donnie Dunn. He's a bartender in a London pub and a struggling actor. And one day, this woman comes into the pub, Martha, played brilliantly by Jessica Gunning. And she introduced herself as this world-class barrister, this attorney who has David Cameron on speed dial.
Let's keep it on American here. Okay, we'll say lawyer.
And then proceeds to basically share elaborate details about her many houses and her fleet of cars and her massive bank account. But when it comes time to pay for the cup of tea that she ordered, she's totally broke.
Okay.
And Donnie, our hero, instantly knows that she's a world-class liar. But out of pity, he comps her that cup of tea. And Martha's obsession begins.
With him?
With him.
Okay.
We're talking nonstop phone calls, thousands of emails and texts, scores of unwanted visits. Like, her obsession just gets bigger and juicier and more nefarious. And the thing that is so original and real about it is that as much as Martha's attention freaks Donnie out, Donnie comes to totally crave it.
Uh-huh.
Now, there are other stories and great performances in the show, but Gadd and Gunning anchor the whole thing brilliantly. It's a show about the power of attention in an alienated world, right?
Okay.
And Love is the Drug by Roxy Music appears in the first episode, and it perfectly sets the tone for the series because you know, Love is a Drug is kind of slinky and strange and a little scary, kind of just like the show.
Slinky, strange, and scary. Yeah. All right. Well, this is Love is the Drug by Roxy Music from Baby Reindeer. To talk about this on the air at the risk of creating marital discord. Now, you were telling me that while you have sexual fidelity with your wife, there is an open relationship when it comes to television viewing. Is that right?
Television and film, yes. We are allowed to see things separately.
So do you go into different rooms at night?
We will have conversations about what we're both gravitating towards. Sometimes she'll be into something and I won't find out until she's four episodes in, and I'll kind of swallow my frustration. And
oh, now wait. So you, if you're both watching the same show, yeah. Is one person allowed to go off and watch episodes?
No, if it's the same show, we're supposed to stay on the same rate.
Yes, you have to.
But if we gravitate towards something,
else that the other one doesn't want to watch. It's a free for all.
I see. So there's kind of threesomes where you're both on the same show.
Yes.
But then there's you both
then
go,
we go
your
separately
separate
and enjoy
okay.
our own shows.
Interesting.
Movies, yeah.
I have a very Mormon relationship with my wife that way. I mean that in the kindest possible way. I hope that wasn't dangerous to say on the airwaves. Huh? But, you know, we watch television together. So yeah. Baby Reindeer is a show I'm interested in watching, but I don't think she's interested. So yeah. I never get to see
Tori
it.
Yeah, Tori and I stumbled across it. Like a friend was in from out of town and we were looking for something after dinner and just saw it on the home screen. Ended up basically... Started at 8 o'clock, finished at like 2 in the morning. Just binged the entire thing.
Wow.
I'm telling you right now.
In one day.
Check it out. Baby Reindeer is amazing. But warning, once you start, you cannot stop. You have to binge it. Once the bag is open, it's like honey mustard pretzel nuggets. Like you're just going to eat everything. You're going to consume the entire thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent food metaphor there.
Right, thank you.
I like that. Okay. Well, let's talk about your next song now that I've gotten into trouble with both my religionist as well as my wife, most likely.
You're really on a roll here.
Thank you. Thank you, Mookie. Yeah. Great. Okay. So,
in fact, I'm very offended myself.
Oh, dear. I offended Mookie. That's hard to do.
That's hard to do. I'm proud of you, though.
I'm proud of me, too. All right. So your next pick, Dave, tell us about Who by Fire by PJ Harmy and Tim Phillips. Used for the series Bad Sisters.
Yeah. Okay, first of all, Bad Sisters is kind of technically a black comedy, but it's also a drama with genuine emotion and with a strong strain of film noir running through it, right? So there are two seasons of the show. Season 2 dropped last year, and it's the brainchild...
I should explain that when we say dropped. Well, people know what drops.
Yeah,
it means it's come out.
It's come out. It's the brainchild of Sharon Horgan, who's this brilliant writer and actor. You might remember her from a show called Catastrophe with Rob Delaney that ran from 2015 to 2019. Anyway, Bad Sisters is about five Irish sisters dealing with the bastards in their lives.
All the men.
There's roughly one bastard per season. There's a big bastard per season. And in each season, blood is spilled, so the sisters are... then forced to deal with the fallout of their actions in increasingly dangerous, desperate, and convoluted ways. And the show is great. I mean, the chemistry between Sharon and the four women who play her sisters is just outstanding, you know? Special shout-out to the impeccable Eve Hewson, who plays the youngest sister and just steals just about every scene that she's in.
Okay. And the song that we're going to hear?
The song we're going to hear is Who by Fire. It's a cover of a Leonard Cohen song. Leonard Cohen wrote it. And it plays over the opening credits. And it's a dark song. It's seductive and it's cool and it's kind of lightly macabre and it's kind of deliciously clever and it just sort of sets the tone for the show perfectly.
All right. Cool. I look forward to hearing this. So this is Who by Fire by PJ Harvey and Tim Phillips from Bad Sisters.
And who by fire... Who by water? Who in the sunshine? Who in the nighttime? Who by high ordeal? Who by common trial? Who in your merry, merry month of May? Who by very slow decay? And who, shall I say, is calling? By barbiturate, who in these realms of love, who by something blunt, who by avalanche, who by powder, who for his greed, who for his hunger, and who shall I say is calling? Sent, who by accident, who in solitude, who in this mirror, who by his lady's command, who by his own hand, who in mortal chains, who in power, and who shall I say is calling?
The lyric sounded so familiar to me, and then I realized that was from a prayer that said during the Jewish high holiday services called Una Tana Tokef. It's read at Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, and Leonard Cohen wrote it after performing for Israeli troops in the Sinai in 1973 after Egypt and Syria launched a surprise attack that nearly succeeded. Okay, my next pick is from the series The Day of the Jackal, starring Eddie Redmayne as an international hitman stalking an Elon Musk-like billionaire. The filmmakers used Radiohead's Everything in Its Right Place over the first 3 minutes of the first episode, and it immediately sets a tone of tension and psychological suspense. Right from the opening chords, the melody never resolves. You never get a sense of completion or satisfaction from it. It just kind of keeps you in this suspended animation, and it worked really well for the show. So here it is. This is Everything in Its Right Place by Radiohead from The Day of the Jackal. Mookie,
Yeah.
I asked you which shows you'd been enjoying in 2024, and one of your picks was The Bear.
It was. Admittedly, I don't watch much television.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great show. It tells the story of an up-and-coming young chef, played by Jeremy Allen White, who leaves the world of haute cuisine to come back to Chicago to run his family's sandwich shop, right?
Right.
So tell us why you like The Bear, Mookie.
At first they said it was a comedy, and then it's pretty apparent that, I mean, there's some funny moments, you know.
Yeah.
There's some comic relief, but it's more tense than anything, really.
It was incredibly tense.
Yeah, everybody thinks they're a foodie these days, you know? So after watching stuff like Top Chef, it's like, okay, let's watch this show. And it was good, super compelling. Admittedly, we haven't watched the latest season, so I'm kind of behind. But I know that, you know, music placement in TV and film is so important, and there was a particular song that really stood out for us.
Uh-huh. Know? Oh, yeah. Right. That's right. And where did I write that down? Yes. It's a really cool song. It's Eddie Vedder doing a really cool version of the English Beat song, Save It for Later, right?
Right. And so I think it was, you know, season 3, episode 2 or something like that. And I discovered the song. Again, I haven't seen the third season, but I came into the office one day, and Julie Slater, our midday host, she's playing Eddie Vedder covering the English Beat. And it sounded great on the air. I was like, what's this from? She says, The Bear.
It's from The Bear. Well, let's take a listen to it. So this is Eddie Vedder doing the English Beat song, Save It for Later.
For rent, cry, but I don't need my mother. Just hold my hand while I go on to a decision on it. Sooner or later, your legs give way, you hit the ground. Save it for later, don't run away, don't let me down. Sooner or later, you'll hit the deck, you'll get found out. Save it for later. Rotten through, but what can you do? I don't know how I'm meant to act with all of you, Lord. Sometimes I don't try, I just na 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 na. Sooner or later, your legs give way, you hit the ground. Save it for later, don't run away and let me down. Sooner or later, you'll hit the deck, you'll get found out. Save it for later, don't run away, don't run away and let me down. Run away and let me down. Run away, let me down. Stupid reasons why we should suffer for this. Don't bother trying to explain them. Just hold my hand while I come on to a decision on it. Sooner or later, your legs give way, you hit the ground. Save it for later. Don't run away and let me down. You'll hit the deck, you'll get found out. Save it for later. Don't run away, don't run away. You let me down. Run away, run away. You let me down. Run away, run away.
That is a gorgeous song. And now I'm going to ruin it by talking. But, you know, it's funny. We were talking. We're all huge fans of the first two seasons. I think none of us have seen the third season yet. I know I had a little issue with the directing on season three, but I'd say season two, the episode with the family's Christmas dinner, that was one of the best hours of television I've ever seen. Dave,
yeah,
you're a fan, right?
I got to agree. Like, I think the name of the episode is Feast of the Seven Fishes, and
that was
it's just a masterpiece. I mean, everybody's great. Jamie Lee Curtis is amazing in that. I think she won the Emmy for that.
Wow.
And John Mulaney's incredible. Like, sly comedy. Yeah. And it just, in the first season, what was remarkable to me was the way characters talked to each other. It was just so, the writing, the acting, the directing, it was so believable and grounded. It's pretty rare to see on television.
Yeah, they really nailed it. I mean, I did a show called Kitchen Confidential with Bradley Cooper like 20 years ago.
Oh, I did a show called Kitchen Confidential with Bradley Cooper.
I know,
Cooper,
you directed.
Yeah, I know. Yes, so we know each other, yeah.
But I mean, I kind of knew Tony Bourdain a little bit and adapted the book. And you know, that was network TV. And when I watched The Bear, I'm like, oh my God, you guys completely nailed it. Everything we couldn't do on network, you're doing. And I think The Bear is fantastic.
Yeah, it was amazing. All right, well, that was a really cool track. Hey, we're going to come right back to the soundtrack with our special guest, David Hemmingson, and more of the best music from film and television in 2024 right after this quick break.
Hey, this is Jet from the SoCal Sound Morning Show with some record releases and reissues that are coming out this week. Live at the Acropolis from James will be dropping. Lily Hyatt is releasing Forever. Adrian Quesada of Black Pumas is releasing Home Free, the 90s-inspired motion picture soundtrack with members of Beastie Boys, The Far Side, Luscious Jackson, and Dinosaur Jr. The Altons will release Heartache in Room 14. Car Button Cloth, vinyl reissue, and deluxe expanded edition from the Lemonheads will be released. And Steely Dan's Katie Lied returns to vinyl for the first time in over 40 years. For more music news and information you can use, listen to More Music in the Morning with Nick Harcourt and Jet every weekday from 6 to 10 a.m. only on 88.5 The SoCal Sound.
Fire Aid LA. Billie Eilish, Sting, Green Day, Alanis Morissette, Stevie Nicks, Joni Mitchell, The Black Crowes, and many more at the Kia Forum and the Intuit Dome on January 30th. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. And fans around the world can join the cause as Fire Aid will be broadcast and streamed live across every major streaming platform. Additionally, select AMC theater locations will host screenings of the event. More info on Fire Aid is available at FireAidLA.org.
This is Public Music Radio in Southern California.
Playing music that's hand-selected by local DJs without any commercials. And we can't do it without you. When you become a station sponsor or program underwriter, you support the arts and help us launch new and local artists. As a business owner or individual, you can join us in building a stronger music community while building positive branding and awareness for your organization. Visit thesocalsound.org and click Become a Sponsor to learn more.
And thank you for supporting Public Music Radio.
Thanks.
Hi, we're the Linda Lindas.
This month's artist in residence on the SoCal Sound.
This month, we're going to guest DJ each week, play songs that we love, and maybe even share a story or two.
Join us this Saturday at 6 p.m.
Only on 88.5 The SoCal Sound.
Artist in residence, Saturday nights at 6, 88.5 The SoCal Sound.
We are back. You are listening to The Soundtrack. I'm your host, Lev El Spiro. We have special guest Dave Hemmingson with us in the studio. And along with the one and only Mookie, we are talking about our favorite film and TV music from 2024. Dave, you and I were both fans of the show Black Doves, starring Keira Knightley and Ben Whishaw, a funny and often compelling, if somewhat improbable, spy thriller set in London. Tell us about why you like the show and about the track you picked from it.
Okay, yeah, I love this show, man, because it has cool leather jackets and it has spies and it's set in London at Christmas. So on that alone, you know, I'm in, you know. But
did
that's
you say
not
spies
all.
Or fries?
Spies cool and fries. So okay. They call them chips over there.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. You got to talk to your barrister and make sure you get that right. But that's not all the show has. It also has Keira Knightley leading a double life in a variety of excellent sweaters and boots. And it has Ben Whishaw as a sensitive hitman with a fondness for champagne and machine guns.
Great character.
Yeah. So bottom line, it's just a fun show full of explosions and twists and dialed-out performances in London at Christmas. So if Baby Reindeer is like those crack pretzels, you know, those honey mustard pretzels you can't stop eating, Black Doves is like truffle popcorn.
Another food metaphor.
Another
I like
food
these.
Metaphor,
yeah, that's great. And Mookie, you told me you were familiar with this band. So the track is Renegade by Ex-Ambassadors. What can you tell us
about? Yeah, so this was the first song that most people ever heard from this band, and okay. a lot of people in the music industry sort of thought they were like an industry plant or whatever that means, you know, because I guess...
Too slick? Too poppy? What?
Well, the Jeep company, the automobile manufacturer, yeah. you know, they came out with a Jeep called the Renegade.
Oh.
So they went to Interscope Records, and they said, can you put together a song called Renegade? And Ex-Ambassadors did. So
did they use it on a commercial
For the Jeep Renegade?
Oh,
you know,
how funny. And
but look at them now. The band they've had some success in the music world. So
yeah.
good for them.
That's you know, when I first heard the track, I thought, yeah, I'm not sure if this is my cup of tea, and it instantly became an earworm.
Yeah, it's a total earworm.
Yeah, it's kind of a classic at this point. It's very popular.
All right, well, let's give it a listen. This is Renegade by Ex-Ambassadors from Black Doves. Well, Jeep commercial or no, that's a cool song. Thanks, Dave. My next pick was used in the series Chaos, starring Jeff Goldblum in a darkly comedic take on the gods of classic Greek mythology. The filmmakers used a bunch of great modern tracks to push the comedic contrast between these tales of antiquity and their modern retelling. And this one, my favorite track from this band's debut album, capped episode 7 with a high-energy end credit sequence. This is Figure It Out from Royal Blood.
It's coming.
Live radio.
Nothing here to see, just a kill out me. Trying to cut some tea, trying to figure it out. Nothing better to do when I'm stuck on you. I'm still on here trying.
trying to figure it out. Getting hard to sleep, blood is in my dreams, love is killing me, trying to figure it out. Nothing better to do when I'm stuck on you, I'm still in here trying to figure it out.
Dave, your turn in the barrel, my friend.
All right, man.
Okay, I love this band, but I don't know the show. Tell us about T-Rex's song Jewel, which was used on the Nick Cage film Long Legs.
Okay, so horror movie number two. Remember I was threatening there was a second horror movie?
You did threaten, yes.
And here it's arrived. Here it is. It's arrived, Lev.
Okay.
So Long Legs is darker than I saw the TV glow, but interestingly, it's also set in the 90s. And the movie kind of falls into that subgenre occupied by Seven or Silence of the Lambs, you know, like Junior Agent.
Both great films.
Yeah, exactly. Junior Agent with cranky mentor hunts crazy serial killer and discovers the darkness within.
Oh, that genre, yeah.
Yeah, that subgenre. But instead of Kevin Spacey or Anthony Hopkins, we have Nick Cage as Long Legs, a satanic doll maker in some freaky prosthetics, like a Kenny G wig and like a white denim Canadian tuxedo.
Huh.
And that, honestly, that's what makes the movie. I mean, Cage isn't in it all that much, but somehow he carries the whole enterprise with his total commitment to the role.
And a great hairpiece.
And a great hairpiece. By the way, on top of the hairpiece and everything else I mentioned, he's also wearing this white pancake makeup, augmented by these like little blush circles on his cheeks, so he actually looks a lot like Betty Davis in Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
Okay.
Which is crazy. And he uses all of it. I mean, he really bites into this weird, specific demonic insanity at the heart of the character of Long Legs, and he totally pulls it off. So Jewel by T-Rex opens the movie, and Mark Bolan's kind of scratchy guitar and snaky delivery is kind of really sexy and menacing. And the guitar solo that closes the song has this kind of dose of like sweaty insanity. So it's just a great way to put you in the mood for what you're about to experience with Nick Cage and his crazy prosthetics.
You sure talk pretty, Dave. You should be a writer.
Oh, man.
That's right. Yeah. All right. Well, this is Jewel from Mark Bolan and T-Rex.
Well, I got a little baby jewels upon her lip. Well, I got a little baby jewels upon her lip. Her hair's like a river, it's fast and slowly drips. How, 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 how.
walks the wind and has a panther with silver fur.
This show goes by so fast. I can't believe we're almost out of time already. I want to thank our special guest, but spanking could be in the cards. David Hemmingson, thank you so much for taking the time out of your writing schedule to do the show tonight. Thank you so much. Please come back anytime.
I'm thrilled, man. Thank you so much for having me.
Folks, next month on The Soundtrack, we have another special guest, film and television director Michael Lehman. Michael's directed and produced some great films like Heathers, Ed Wood, and My Giant, as well as countless hours. Well, you could probably count them, but it's a lot of hours of television. Shows like Dexter, Veronica Mars, Jessica Jones, True Blood, Nurse Jackie, many, many more. Don't miss that show on February 26th, one day after the 25th, when I turn 30. And if you believe that, I have some great land in Florida you might be interested in. Dave. Oh, and also, thank you, Mookie, for running the board tonight. Well, it's a pleasure to have you.
Spank you very much.
Spank me. Spank all of us.
It's a spanking
machine.
Why
not? Dave, this next pick is one of yours, but it's also a guilty pleasure. We're going to go out on this because it's Jethro Tull. And my wife is not a fan, so I'm not allowed to play it in the house, but I'm a huge fan. Now, this is your second cut from Baby Reindeer. How'd this one work in the show?
Well, you know, we touched upon how Baby Reindeer is about, like, at its heart, a story about attention and reciprocal obsession, right? And Teacher by Jethro Tull just kind of hits at the right moment. Now, remember how I said there were other stories aside from that central kind of Donnie-Martha thing? Well, Teacher's used in the context of one of these other stories, and when Donnie actually gets a break in his comedy career, and he's mentored by this powerful producer who ends up drugging him and taking advantage of him. So there's a heavy dose of irony in using Jethro Tull's Teacher. And I put it on the list because of that, and also because Tull is a complicated topic. Let's be honest.
Okay, though. All right.
I have an incredibly close friend named Jeff Hoppe who loves Tull with the molten, white-hot passion of a thousand flaming suns.
Okay.
Now, I don't share this passion. I'm not waving the Tull banner. At best, I'm Tull curious.
Tull curious.
Tull curious. But there are certain moments when a codpiece-wearing prog rock flautist is just what you need.
Oh, absolutely.
And this moment in episode 4, Baby Reindeer, is exactly that.
Guys, thank you again for coming in tonight. Great show. Let's listen to Teacher by Jethro Tull from Baby Reindeer.